Good morning, family.
Good morning, sister.
I will be reading John 6, verse 35. I'm going to skip over to 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that came down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Good morning to all of you. Certainly is a blessed day. Be able to enjoy this weather without all the heat. It's a little cooler today, which I'm thankful for. Jesus, the bread of life, the only cure. You might ask, the only cure for what? We'll talk about that today. How many of you heard of the seven I Ams? Okay. There are seven working. Oh, it's off. Okay, I'm sorry. There we go. I didn't think you could see it, but I thought I'd put it up there anyway. This is not germane to my message, but I thought put this one particular I Am in context. In the book of John, there are seven verses that begin with I Am. The first one is found in John 6:35. It says, "I am the bread of life." That's my topic for today. And the second one is, "I am the light of the world." The third one, "I am the gate." The fourth one, "I am the good shepherd." The fifth one, "I am the resurrection and the life." And the sixth one, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And finally, "I am the true vine." The divinity of Christ is further illustrated in John 8:58, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Which means that Jesus existed before his human life on earth. And so we have the seven I Ams. And the first one, as I mentioned, deals with my topic today. I am the bread of life. We would like to look at this particular verse or verses and perhaps get a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation of one of the seven I Ams. We know about bread, don't we? Most of us here are familiar with bread. It's a very, very enjoyable food. Bread, when coupled with a little piece of meat and a few vegetables, can make up a nice meal. How many of you have entered into a house and you have smelled the smell of freshly baked bread? It's a very, very pleasing smell, isn't it? Very, very enjoyable. And so Jesus uses the metaphor of bread to show his importance to all of us. And we need to be aware how important bread is to us in perhaps a more deeper and fuller way. Because as I pointed out before, this is one of the seven particular qualities that Jesus Christ used to show his divinity, to show who he was. We know that the word I am is in the present tense, and Jesus has always been able to say, I am. No matter what or where he might be, he always is. Now, you and I live in the present. How many of you lived in the past? Nobody here. Let me ask you this. How long ago was the past? A couple of seconds ago? That's right. So we're always moving in life. We're moving forward. But God is eternal. He lives in the past, the present, and the future. It's all the same to him because he is the eternal one. He is the everlasting God. And he gives us the secret as to how we can enter into that life that he possesses. And it is by consuming him, because he is the bread of life, eternal life. Before you is a kernel of wheat. I don't think you can read the descriptions. I went into the internet and found a grain of wheat and plucked it out. But there are three parts to a grain of wheat, major parts. First, there is the bran. That's the outside of the wheat, the part that you see. Then there's the endosperm, which is that white stuff inside of it. And hidden deep down in the wheat is the germ. You've heard of the wheat germ. That's where the life is, in the wheat germ. And in order to make bread, we must take the wheat and pulverize it, grind it up, make it into a flour. Then after we do that, we mix the flour with some water or milk, a little bit of salt, perhaps some eggs, perhaps some yeast, and we make bread. And when you cook bread, fresh baked bread, it is very, very enjoyable. And so God talks about the bread of life. You know, in our prayers, what do we pray? We ask Father, we praise him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And so bread is something that we are to consume on a continual basis. Bread is a basic staple of life, and therefore stands for food in general. It is used as a metaphor for money, because with money, you can buy bread. Back in the day, when your friends needed some help, they say, man, you got any bread? They didn't want no Wonder Bread. They want to know if you had some money, so they could perhaps get a little bit of it. And with that money, you could buy bread. And so we see how important bread is to our existence. There is nothing that wakes up the appetite like fresh baked bread. And as I mentioned before, bread is made from ground up grain mixed with leaven, oil, salt, eggs, and sometimes a few enhancing ingredients, like, you know, you might want to put some raisins in there. Or if you're from the old school, you might put some crackling in there. I don't think anybody here uses crackling, do they? People have survived on bread alone. Whole grains will make for a very, very strong body. You find these old country boys who come out of the country and come to play sports, and they have these healthy, strong bodies. And the chances are they ate a lot of good, fresh, natural bread with everything intact. Today, the manufacturers have gotten smart. They say, hey, we're going to make a lot of money because we're going to separate the wheat or the endosperm from the shell, and we're going to separate the germ, because out of the germ you can get other products like oil and what have you. But if you keep it all together and you grind it up and make it into a flour, that's the makings of some healthy eating. Wheat is very, very durable and enduring. And in fact, my good friend Dolphus Williamson gave us some wheat many, many, many years ago. In fact, probably back in the 80s, I don't know how long ago it was. I still have some of that wheat. It's in a jar somewhere. I'm saving it for a difficult time when there's little food left and I can grind it up and have something to survive on. Because, you know, it lasts, it endures. They have found wheat in the tombs of Egypt that have survived over the years and still will grow, still will satisfy and meet our needs of hunger. And so we need to take a closer look at wheat and understand why Jesus Christ likens himself to bread. It's interesting to know that Jesus Christ is called the seed. Seed of the woman. That's one of his titles. And in order to make flour, you must take that seed and you must pulverize it. You must break it up. You must beat it. Does that remind you of anything? Christ says what? This is my body, which is broken for you. And before you can make bread, what must you do? You must take that wheat, that grain of wheat, and you must grind it up into a fine flour before you can mix it with other ingredients in order to make bread. And so we see from this illustration how much involved Christ is in our lives. And there are many, many illustrations in the Bible regarding bread. I found over 255 scriptures relating to the topic of bread. So bread is a very, very important thing, and I think God wants us to focus on it and think about it, because it is very, very important. So whether you want to or not, you live to eat, don't you? Everybody here loves to eat. Or maybe, if the other way around, maybe you eat to live. But we know that when you get hungry, what do? You go searching for something to eat. And you have an urge within you that's built within you that drives you. Because you know that in order to live, you must eat. You must eat bread. Because from that bread comes life. And without eating and without breaking down that substance and then assimilating it into your body, you will die. Hence, we can look at some of the statements that Jesus Christ made about himself, saying, I'm the bread of life. You can understand it more clearly. And so bread is a metaphor for us. I think God made wheat so that he could teach us something about his relationship to us. We must partake of Jesus. And many, many times he spoke of eating him. And in fact, he caused an offense when he spoke to some of the people around him and told them that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, because Christ is the bread of life. And it's very, very important that we understand this, because bread is so important. Life keeps us busy trying to find something to eat. You ever think about that? Why do you go to work every day? Make money? Yeah, but why do you need money? So you can buy some bread. And so we work for bread. If we didn't have to work for bread, I don't think a lot of jobs wouldn't get done. Because we have that hunger within us, and that drives us. That drives us. That makes us do things. People rob, cheat, and steal so they can get money so they can buy bread. Bread is very, very important to our existence. Likewise, Jesus is the same to us. Life keeps us busy finding something to eat. Now, there's a great lesson in that. A great lesson in that. So we need to learn how to be satisfied by eating of Jesus. And if you learn how to eat of Jesus, what does he say? You will not hunger. Because you're always getting hungry, aren't you, with the physical bread, right? And, you know, it doesn't last too long. You eat one meal, the next thing you do, you're getting ready for the next one. Right? You got to get ready for, got those 3 meals a day if you're blessed to have that much food around. But you're always wanting to eat. If you notice the animals of the field, how they're constantly looking for food. They're constant, you look at deers, they're chewing on the grass, they're looking around, and they're trying to keep themselves alive. But they got to get that grass. You look at chickens or birds, they're always pecking. Always looking for something to eat. Because you see, our life, this physical life, comes from the earth. And with the sun and with vegetation, we extract those ingredients that keeps us alive. That keeps us alive. And so if we recognize that metaphor, we will get the key to eternal satisfaction. It becomes painful when you don't eat. Life gets to be painful when you can't eat, doesn't it? Well, you ever think about it? When you don't partake of Jesus, does life get to be painful? It does. We're always, and it tells us that we need to constantly be nourished, constantly be fed, constantly be filled with the Spirit of God. Because without that nourishment, we will pass away. Our life will ebb away and we'll become weaker and weaker and weaker. And sometimes we eat and we take it for granted. We don't realize that we eat to live. We have so much food around us and it's so abundant. As soon as this service is over, I know people are going to head for that line over there. They're going to be, what they're going to be looking for? Something to eat. Something to eat. What if we had the attitude about Jesus? You know, Jesus is called the Word, right? He's the Word. And you remember when Jesus encountered the devil in the wilderness after 40 days and 40 nights? What did the devil try to do? He says, turn these stones into bread. You know you're starving. You've been without food for 40 days, 40 nights. You can't take it anymore. You know, you ever come off a day's fast? You feel that way too, don't you? You're really looking for something to eat. Fill that void. Satisfy that need. But what did Jesus say? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus equates the word of God with bread. And I think if we too would realize the essentialness of bread, spiritually speaking, we would be stronger. We would encounter life's problems with a greater degree of proficiency and efficiency. And we would have less problems and difficulties in life. I was talking with someone a little while ago, and they used to attend Southside. And through the course of time, perhaps for some reason not of their own, they got separated from church. And they weren't coming regularly anymore. So they had problems in their lives. And I says, you know those problems, you know, it's sad to know that, you know, you got separated from our fellowship. Because they tried other fellowships. They went over here and they went over there. And they couldn't find any place that met their needs like our fellowship. And so they were having difficulties in their life because they were weak spiritually. Weak spiritually. We come every Sunday, and we are nourished and fed, and we don't even realize that we're being nourished. And we take coming to service for granted. But if you go too long without being fed, without being nourished, what happens? You will grow weaker. And so we need to be constantly fed. And as the Bible tells us, we need to hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. We need to feed upon that bread that's from heaven, that divine bread that comes down in much the same way that manna came down to feed the Israelites. And as Christ says, you know, you ate of the manna, but you still died. You still die. He told the Pharisees, you enjoy bread, and perhaps some of you complained about the bread, the monotony of eating bread, or at least manna. And it gets to be monotony sometime to study God's word, doesn't it? No? So you love to eat, right? Well, that's good. You got a good spiritual appetite. But some people do. They get tired. You ever get tired of eating? Anybody here? No? Love to eat. Some people try to avoid eating because they don't want to get any bigger. They shut down their appetite, right? Some people binge because they're not satisfied with themselves. And some people wish they didn't have to eat, because you could save a lot of money if you didn't have to eat. Food, though enjoyable, can be a source of many unwanted problems, especially if you're dieting on the wrong things, right? If you don't have that balanced diet, too many carbohydrates, too much sugar, too much of even a good thing can be bad for you sometimes. And so we need that balanced diet. And bread is perhaps one of the most balanced foods there is. It supplies mostly all of the nutrients that you need to have in order to maintain your existence. And that's the part that Jesus Christ plays in our life. So let's go to John, the 8th chapter, and let's look more closely at some of the verses and perhaps get a little deeper understanding. Verse 35 of John 6, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So if you study God's word and you have faith in God, that's the key to a nutritious diet. So any of you here are hungry? Any of you here are thirsty? You know, that's a big problem with mankind, isn't it? He says, at this time the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now, they didn't like that. He says, you're, because now they were familiar with the manna, right? And how it was given to provide for their survival in the wilderness. And so they looked at Jesus, who does he think he is? Is he better than the manna that our forefathers ate week by week by week and it sustained them? Although they got tired of it and they wanted some meat. And God gave them meat and they overindulged and God had to punish them. But Christ says, I'm the bread that comes down out of heaven. Not this stuff that comes out of the sky, which was provided from their point of view by Moses. You know, they viewed Moses as a great prophet, and he fed, Moses fed them. They didn't see God behind it all. In the same way, you know, Christ comes down from heaven, and who does he represent? The Father. He represents the Father. So they grumbled when he said that I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? They couldn't understand it. He was talking gobbledygook to them. Their minds couldn't understand it. So what did Jesus say? He says, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw them. And I will raise them up at the last day, because those who partake of me will have eternal life. Without me, there is no eternal life. And so Jesus was making that point, that he came down from heaven and that he provided for them something they could not get on earth. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who hears the Father, learns from him, comes to me. Now, if you think about this for a moment, this is quite astounding what Christ says. He says, no man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draw them. So are you drawn of God? Are you here because God has drawn you? Think about it. How many people did you pass on the way to church today who was totally oblivious to God? Some people out there delivering newspapers. Some people driving trucks. Some people just waking up from a busy Saturday night party or something. And they seem to be totally oblivious to what God is doing. And not only are they oblivious, they're not even interested. You walk up to somebody and say, hey, come on, go to church with me. I can show you where you can find life, eternal life. How many do you think would volunteer to go with you? Not too many. I've invited people ahead of time, set up a date and everything. And when it comes time for them to be there, they got an excuse. Well, Brother Jess, I forgot. Or I had to go someplace else. I had this one friend, I've invited him to church about 4 or 5 times. Every time he got an excuse as to why. I had to say to myself, well, I don't think the Father's drawing him, at least not yet. How many of you have some experiences like that? You try to invite people. You want them to come, and you are so excited, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue as to what's going on in this world. All they can think about is getting the next paycheck, filling their belly with physical food, and they have no desire for Jesus. So you need to realize that you are a miracle. You are sitting here because the Father has drawn you. And it's not by mistake. That's what Jesus said. He says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. And they were glad to get that manna. And they baked it, and they boiled it, and they ground it up, and they made it into flour, and they ate on it. 40 long years. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. This is very special bread. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of bread in the physical sense? You eat one loaf of bread and you don't have to worry about eating anymore. Just think of all the weight you could lose. Cut out all them calories and everything. Man. But you could eat as you see fit. But Christ is the bread that's nutritious. The more you eat of him, the more you want, stronger you get, the healthier your body becomes. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Christ says, I am once again the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. How many wants to live forever in here? I think we all here, that's what we're here for, right? We want to live forever. Can you imagine forever? How long that is? You can't even put a number on it, can you? Forever. And the little bit of pain and a little bit of suffering in this life that you go through cannot be compared to forever. All that you go through, all that you endure in this life, Christ says, you eat of me, you will live forever. You won't ever hunger again. And you know, we live in a world where there is hunger, isn't it? We're constantly looking for satisfaction. And there's a spiritual hunger that we all have. There's a spiritual hunger that every human being who walks the face of the earth is trying to satisfy. Fall into three categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the three areas in which you hunger. And people are constantly going about trying to satisfy this itch that will never be scratched. In fact, the more you try to satisfy, what happens? The worse it gets. You ever have an itch or a mosquito bites you or something like this, and you just start scratching, and you scratch it, and you scratch it, and it gets worse and worse and worse the more you scratch it, because it cannot be satisfied in the flesh. The flesh will never be satisfied through the physical. So how do you find a cure? What is the cure? Well, I've just told you what the cure is. And it's not a cliche to say that Jesus is the answer. From Genesis to Revelation, Christ says, the Bible speaks of me. So everything in the Bible presents Jesus. He's the Word. And Christ says, you must eat of me. You must partake of me. So there's nourishment in every book of the Bible. There's so many wonderful things to be discovered in the Word of God. Fascinating topics to be explored and to learn of. And as we ingest the Word of God, It begins to live in us, and it begins to give us nourishment. It makes us stronger. It makes us more vital individuals. I was thinking the other day, I said, way back in the day, we used to have memorized the Bible. Remember that? We had a whole four or five sheets of scriptures that we used to memorize. How many kind of gave that up a little bit? I did. But I still love to study God's word. I've given up trying to memorize because I can't even remember yesterday, you know? So I got to find a new technique. I have to learn the principles. I go for the principles. How many of you like to go for the principles? That's much easier, isn't it? Once you learn the principles, and it amazes me how often sometimes if I'm faced with a question, I can think of a scripture. I can think of a scripture that will satisfy or give an answer. Because you take in the scriptures and it becomes a part of you. You know, and I take solace in the fact that going back in the olden times, they didn't have chapter and verses. You know, so I don't have to deal with chapters and verses. I just try to remember what's there. And God's spirit in you, God says, when you need it, I'll supply it. I'll supply what you need. I'll give you an answer. He says, don't worry about it. Don't fret over it. But just be in the word. Study the word. Partake of the word. You know, today we take the Bible kind of for granted because, you know, I got a computer. I got about 50 Bibles on this one computer program I got. How many have heard of Logos Bible? And it's got so many verses in there, and it gives you in columns every verse, and it's just overkill. Just so much to learn. You go on the internet, you type in a verse, or even just you type in a phrase, and it'll bring you back all the scriptures. You know, it's like the internet was set up for the Bible, because it just brings you back just all the verses that you ever want. There's so much of the Word of God, and so there is abundance of the word around us. And yet and still, people go hungry, spiritually speaking. They don't take advantage of what God has made available because they can't. You know, those who don't know Christ walk around as dead men, right? What can a dead man do? He can't make himself alive, can he? No. How long does he stay dead? Until God wakes him up, right? So God has to call, the Father has to call that person. Otherwise, they're like the walking dead. Bunch of zombies walking around, spiritually speaking. And you can't come to God on your own. God says, the Father brings the people to me. And all that come to me, I won't lose. I won't forsake. And so it is a wonderful and a tremendous blessing to be called to salvation. And we should stop and think about that. That's a tremendous blessing that we have from God. And just rejoice in it. We always, you know, you can think about the bleakest situation you've been in, but if you can get through that, you always see a bright, shining star on the horizon, right? Because you keep your eye on Jesus and you feed on him and the promises. And the hope that he's given to us through the word. So, what's the solution? I asked that in my title. And I wanted to tie that in. Man has a spiritual hunger that he tries to satisfy in numerous ways. I mentioned the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And you can look around you and see that being manifested all the time. 6,000 years of useless pursuits has only led to suffering and death. Why? Because the bread of this world is short-lived. You can get a certain amount of life out of the food that you eat, right? In fact, if you don't eat, you're going to die physically. But is that going to give you eternal life? No. You need the bread that comes down from heaven. The harder man tries for life on his own terms, the worse he makes it for himself. I enjoy watching The Filthy Rich. How many people have ever seen that program on cable TV? It's called The Filthy Rich. People got 5, 6, 7 cars, millions, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They got homes built on mountaintops worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't even live in them. They're trying to preserve their wealth. So they build things. They buy it. They got this one person had vaults. He had special locks, and he had in there jewelry and diamonds and watches. He must have had about 40 or 50 watches, more expensive than Rolexes. And all this material wealth that people accumulate unto themselves, for what? For what? It's because you're trying to satisfy something inside that cannot be satisfied with the physical. And they're in torment in a way because they know that eventually they're going to have to give it up. And somebody's going to come along and cast it to the wind, try to get the dollars out of it, get the what they might think to be the true bread, which is the money, so they can spend it on what they want to spend it on, satisfy their interests. And after a while, it's all gone. You know, you think 1,000 years is a long time to live? Go ask Adam. Ask Methuselah. He's the longest lived person on the face of the earth. He didn't make it to 1,000 years. But the day will come when time will be without end. It will go on and on and on and on. And to think that we are able to partake of the bread that gives eternal life. We should believe Jesus, for he is the only cure. He is the true bread of life. So remember that in your living. Remember that in your pursuits. No matter how difficult life might become, realize the fact that God is preparing you to live with him in glory forever and ever and ever, because we'll have partaken of the true bread of life. Would you please bow with me? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for showing us the truth about your Son, about what you are doing here below. We thank you, Father, for giving us the resource that will sustain us into eternity. We bless the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us so much, who was pulverized and beaten for our benefit and our blessing, who shed his blood for us. And we're to remember his body. He says, as often as we eat this bread and drink this blood, we do show his coming. And we look forward to his coming, because with him will come eternal life in the kingdom of God, to be with you forever and ever. So we praise you and give you thanks for all things. And we ask your blessings upon us, your children. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.